It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And welcome into Poke the Bear episode 140, presented by FanDuel. I'm Evan Marinofsky. That's Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. And there is a lot to talk about with the Bruins, considering the end of the season, the dog days, the regular season. I mean, even that Blue Jackets game Thursday night needed some fights to kind of light a spark to it. It was just, you know, it just it lacks a little oomph during the end of the season. But some news came. Unfortunately, we weren't recording during it, so we couldn't like react to it in the moment. We're recording right after.
One of these days it will happen.
It's incredible that we've been doing this for what, 2-3 years, and it's never happened ever. It has never come close. We have been spoiled by the deadline many times, but it's never happened during a recording. One of these days it will happen, though. It's going to happen at some point. It has to.
It's going to be something that's like really terrible. We're like, oh, imagine like that happened during a podcast. That'd be crazy. And it'll be like, oh shit, Bergeron's retiring. All right. And it'll be like me being like, oh. That's what the actual video will be. It won't be us being like, wow, Evan, what do we think? It'll be that. It'll be me being like, all right, see ya.
I don't want to be seen right now.
Yes.
But anyways, Bruins signed Mason Lowry to an AHL amateur tryout agreement. I know a lot of people are wondering, hey, why isn't he just signing an entry-level contract? And it's because that would burn a year of the entry-level contract, and it's the end of the year, and you don't want to do that. And they don't need to do that at all. They don't need Mason Lowry up on defense with the Bruins, or with the Boston Bruins. But it's finally happened. Lowry, again, we were kind of waiting all week. We thought on Bruins Beat it would happen immediately. Obviously took a few days, probably, you know, the kid probably took some time to make it. It's a pretty big decision to make. There was an interesting story Matt Porter did in the Globe on McAvoy deciding to turn pro, and he was sobbing all the way on the drive to Providence. I guess that's what happens when you go from Boston to Providence. You just immediately just start inconsolably crying. I think that's maybe what happens.
Evan's just kicking Rhode Island while it's down, I guess, huh?
No, I like Rhode Island. I like Rhode Island a lot. Some beautiful, beautiful cities. I'm trying to gain back points here. It's in the New England region. I can't be kicking people out.
It's not Connecticut. That's true.
No, it's not Connecticut. Logan Mullen, though, would disagree on that. Logan Mullen used to say, you know, Hartford's actually, you know, Connecticut's kind of nice. Like, I like Hartford a lot. And I'm like, are you okay? Are you good? You're all right. But whatever. People can, as long as you like where you live, I guess you're happy.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. It doesn't matter what we think. That's what you think. Mason Lowry finally deciding to turn pro. And we talked about his impact on Bruins Beat a little bit of where he might fit. But what's kind of the big things for him this year that he kind of has to seal up in Providence?
Yeah, I think for him, you look at just this small stretch of the season. I think it's just about getting your feet kind of planted where you are in Providence, right? I think we mentioned this briefly before when we talked about the fact that he's likely turning pro. And I think it was after Ohio State season ended. I think it was Rand Pecknold, the head coach at Quinnipiac. I think Mark Diver tweeted this out that he pretty much was like, yeah, that guy could play the NHL right now, which I'm sure if there's other teams that were more desperate for, you know, immediate help on the blue line, he probably would be getting a few games up in the NHL ranks this season just to, you know, take that next step. Bruins have the luxury of not having to rush any of these guys. You can make the same argument with a guy like Fabian Lysell, right? Like, you look at his high-end skill. Does he need more time in Providence? And I think when you look back at where a guy like Lysell was early on in the year, you have people who are like, yeah, bring him up there. Like, you know, trial by fire. Like, have him learn up there, which there is a merit to that, I guess. But the Bruins, you know, are in this spot where they don't need to do that. They're giving these guys ample time to learn the ropes of the AHL, because I think – you know, barring the rare prospect who goes right to the AHL ranks and dominates right away, doesn't happen. It's a higher level of competition. The physicality, there's less ice to work with. So I think for a guy like Lauri, you know, we mentioned this before, that usually defensemen are the ones that have the longest kind of development curve, especially when I think when you're a guy like Lauri who has a skill set that is based in the offensive zone, involves a little bit more risk taking. I think for him, the most important thing, get a few games up in Providence this year, learn the ropes, feel comfortable, because I think there is going to be some, you know, bumps along the road for any guy like that whose game. It's not like he's this really steady, you know, D-zone only guy, shutdown guy. I mean, who knows what he becomes later on in his career. But I think for all these guys that have to first take those lumps of the AHL and adjusting to that, I think that's the most important thing, is just getting a few games, see where you measure up against the competition and build off of it. Even if it's so-so a couple of games in Providence, you learn from it. You go into the offseason, you tackle what you need to do. Because, again, I think so many guys have this curve where, as much as Charlie McAvoy went right from the AHL to the NHL and dominated right away, doesn't happen. Like, look at Jakub Blauko, high-end talent guy overseas, goes to Providence. You know, his scoring numbers drop a bit, and now he's more of a fourth line grinder kind of guy, right? I think Laura just needs to go to Providence for a couple games and see where he exactly fits into the equation.
Yeah, again, his offensive instincts are good. You see it, you know, you just see how good he is. I mean, he was a forward until recently, until relatively recently. So again, he seems like a guy who is going to take a year down in Providence. And I think that's a good thing to have. Maybe next year, if they need him up at the on the big club at some point, then you bring him up. But to me, I mean, I don't think he's a guy you need to rush. There's no need to do it. I know we mentioned him as a potential Matt Grizzlick replacement down the road. That still could happen. We'll see how Providence kind of goes. Again, Torrey Krug kind of came right up, scored, what was it, like four goals in three games against the Rangers, or four goals in five games against the Rangers in the playoffs. Like, I don't think that'll be happening this postseason with Lowry. There's really no need to bring him up there. And the other thing that's interesting is, like, I think a lot of people forget about the AHL. Obviously, there's a lot of prospects developing, but there's also a lot of older guys who, A, just have careers down there, or B, are trying to work their way back into the NHL. And it's very much, it's a lot tougher than college, because there's a lot more riding on the line for a lot of guys. I know that's one thing college coaches a lot of times will say to players who are thinking of making the jump. It's like, well, you're not going to immediately go to the NHL and start dominating. You're going to have to spend a lot of time in the AHL, where it's a little bit of a tougher lifestyle, and you're playing against guys who have a lot riding on the line. Guys like Chris Wagner, who want to get back into the NHL. These guys are not going to just let you go out there and skate around and do what you want. They're going to make life difficult on you. I don't mean Chris Wagner on Mason Lowry, but I mean guys like Chris Wagner around the league who could make life difficult on a young, exciting prospect. So it's a big jump, and it's going to take – it'll probably take some time, just like it has for Fabian Lysell this year and lots of other guys. But moving on to the big Bruins, the Boston Bruins, clinched the President's Trophy on Thursday night, which everyone kind of went, really? Kind of the same thing. Okay, you like Connecticut a lot? Good for you.
The pizza's good.
Same type of vibe. And I saw the Bruins posted the graphic, and it was all the years they've went on to win the President's Trophy. It was like 1990, 2014, 2020. It's like, ooh, that's a lot of heartbreak. Ooh, especially considering last time they won the President's Trophy, a global pandemic began.
Yeah, so that wasn't great.
That was also not great. So the President's Trophy has a very negative connotation to it, as it should, because no one... You know, people just don't really win after winning the President's Trophy. But this team feels a little different. This team's been different all year. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in the playoffs yet. But what we do know is the Bruins have home ice, which I think everyone's going to focus on the curse. It's going to be the curse. Hey, one of the last times there was a big curse in Boston, Boston broke it. The Red Sox, curse of the Bambino. Maybe this is the team that breaks the curse of the President's Trophy. So, but again, I think people should more focus on, hey, you will have game 7 of the Eastern Conference Final in Boston, which I think is a very, very, very important thing.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the thing you really have to focus on. And again, I think, what is it? Only 8 teams that have won the President's Trophy since it got introduced have won Stanley Cup. Still, when you look at how much variance there is in hockey, how wild the Stanley Cup playoffs are, more often than not, like, a higher seeded team is usually one that can, you know, orchestrate a deep run. So it's not like this is, I think, an indictment on the Bruins or anything like that. But again, I think, as you said, the most important thing is just having home ice. That I think the road to the Stanley Cup goes through Boston. And I think people can look at, you know, that can get countered very easy, being like, well, we'll look at 2019. Look what happened in game 7. We know that game sucked. That game
actually, game 7, they never played game 7. They never played
it's game
7.
It's just like the National Championship game. BU and Providence, yes. The ice melted. So,
yeah.
But again, barring a mishap like that, you know, people will be quick to point at that, but just look back at last year, right? I would say you probably win that series against Carolina if you had that one more game in Boston, right? Like, I think when you look at a few of these really even matchups, sometimes the difference is just how you are on home ice in your own building, the psychological advantage of, you know, being in your own house, not having to travel, all these things that I think does go a long way when I think you're so hyper-focused on the next shift, or, you know, you're trying to, you know, you have the blinders on in terms of what you need to do to win a 7-game series, just having that added comfort, that familiarity really does help. And again, it helps that the Bruins are stupid good. I mean, they've been good all year, but in Boston, very, very good, right? I mean, you have that distinct advantage. There's a team that, you know, knows how to win, knows how to take care of business in their own building. So is this going to be a situation where, I mean, who knows? The Bruins could go on a warpath this postseason and wrap up a couple of these series in 5-6 games and be like, oh, it didn't really matter. That being said, I think when you get to this point of the season where you're just looking to put yourself in the best possible spot, getting healthy, getting, you know, parts of your roster all set, locking up home ice advantage is at the top of the list, right, in terms of ways to make your life easier once you get to the playoffs. The Bruins went out and did that.
That's the thing. I mean, again, it's one of those nice safety blankets to have. You know, if they play Pittsburgh in the first round, I don't imagine it going 7 games. But or even the team, the Islanders might be a little tougher, just considering they play a little stingy, better goaltending, things like
boring.
That. Boring as hell. Boring. Yes. Boring playoff team in general. But again, I mean, it's a nice thing to have.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Connor, do you remember when you were in like elementary school and it would be like,
no,
right?
I didn't go.
You don't remember, you didn't go. You just said you were homeschooled. You're a homeschooled kid. That's what you were. But remember those days?
Anyway.
It really screwed me over there. Oh my God. Remember the days though, like right before winter break or even summer break, and it's mainly summer break, and it's the last couple of days before you know school ends, and you're not really doing anything. Remember those days? You're just kind of sitting in class. Maybe the teacher puts on a movie, or you read a book, or you know, you have recess for like an excess amount of time. You just don't do a lot. There's not a lot to do. Summer's coming. Curriculum's kind of over. You know where you stand. The grades are in. Even though in elementary school, like what grades were they really? And even later in middle school and high school, the days before summer, it just didn't do much. So same with the Bruins right now. The Bruins are kind of in that period where everything
recess,
is.
Baby.
They're in recess period. They're in recess, baby. They are. Everything is set. They've won the President's Trophy. They handed out end of season awards on Thursday night. The 3 stars were announced, all those things. And they've still got 7 games left, right? They got 7. I'm counting correctly, making sure the math is still working there. 7 games left in the regular season. And it's tough because, you know, Penguins, Blues, you have the Leafs in there, the Devils, then you have the Flyers, the Capitals, you end the season in Montreal against the Canadiens. So Some tougher games to get up for. I mean, I know, again, you got the, it's like the last season, the Maple Leafs and Bruins have their spots locked down. They're playing each other at the end of the year. Game doesn't really even matter at all. But you know, you don't want to have a complete letdown because they do have the playoffs coming, but up until then you've got some time and kind of kick your feet up a little bit. But what are you looking for out of this team going into the playoffs in these last seven games?
Yeah, I think, I mean, the number one priority is just going to be resting guys, you know, getting guys the necessary time off just to rest and recuperate. I think you look at that Columbus game. We were over at the Garden. It was an optional skate, and Bergeron was one of the first guys out there. And we're like, all right, he's not playing today. And he ended up playing. I was like, okay. But I think you're going to see a lot more going forward. It's not like I think there's going to be just starting this weekend, Jim Montgomery just rolling out like the B team or anything like that. They're bringing up their
Black Aces.
Yeah, they already have them ready to roll. But I think every game you're going to see two or three guys that have a lot of mileage, have some nagging injuries, probably to rest and recuperate. And I think you won't see anyone disagreeing with that. Like, even like you look at that Carolina game last weekend, and we were both like, well, it would be good if they did beat that team, you know, just get over that hump. Of course, they ended up doing it. But when you see that Bergeron and Marchand and Lindholm aren't playing, we're like, that's fine. Okay. Like,
scheduled loss.
Carolina is a tough team, but the most important thing is getting those guys healthy, especially if they're dealing with some injuries. So, and of course, they end up winning that game anyway. So I think it's, you know, a positive anyway. Like, you already have a little bit lower expectations, maybe in terms of what the games are going to be, but you can still put up a competitive game. And, you know, if guys like Lauko benefit, maybe Firm, instead of playing 5-6 minutes, they get to 10. You know, how much does some of these other players, Zboril, gets more minutes? If you can still field a really competitive team while giving some of these guys that are going to be key to your success rest down the stretch, it's going to be huge. The one thing you do have to weigh is, I don't think this is a hot take or anything, but you got to figure out that power play. It's not great. Still really hasn't been good. You look at that Columbus game, that should have been a game where you hope that they just like score two or three goals. It's not a very good team, Columbus, but get a few goals, feel good about yourself, and get rolling.
Billy Sweezy, really, though. Yet. Local kid, Billy Sweezy.
Yes. Ooh. Yes. The pride of Hanson. So,
pride of Hanson. The dad going nuts in the stands.
Of course.
Over the fight. It was awesome.
Beautiful. But I think that's one thing where it's like, all right, do we sit out all these guys knowing that the power play is still not – it's like when you're supposed to take like a big test, like a final, and you hit like the point at 3 a.m. where you're like, well, I can't remember anything anymore in my head, so I'm just going to go to bed. Like, I'll just figure it out in the morning. And then you get there, and you test, and it looks like you're reading it in Windings, and you're like, shit. All right, this was a bad idea. I should have just like operated on an hour of sleep instead of 4. It's like, do the Bruins run that risk of like, all right, we're not doing the nuclear option here. We're not taking Pastor off the top power play unit or anything like that. Like, these are the guys we're rolling with. They're going to have to figure it out because we don't really know what else to do. Maybe they take that approach, but still, you'd like to see at least one game over these final 7 of them getting a power play goal or two, showing a little bit more of what this team can do when they're operating at a high level on the man advantage.
Going to be hilarious. Game 1 of the playoffs, they immediately score a power play goal like 5 minutes into the game.
It's like, it's like a one-timer from Pastrnak. It's like, oh, okay.
Yep. They're back. They're fine. But it's still a little bit of an issue. I will say the one thing over these last seven games, obviously, yeah, you want to rest guys. I think that's priority number one. But would you feel any different about them? Would you feel like less confident even if they went into the playoffs after the 7-game stretch and they went like 3-4? Like, I feel like there's part of me wants to be like, you know, you want to finish kind of strong and go into the playoffs a little bit hot. But part of me is also like, they were hot the entire season. If they go 3-4 over the last 7 games, is it really, you know, time to hit the panic button? But I guess it is a little worrisome. You know, do they, if they did go like 3-4, 2-5, they would never do. But like 3-4, you know, even 4-3-ish. Like, I think, you know, it's, oh, hopefully bad habits don't start to kick in over that amount of time and kind of bleed into the playoffs. But I still think that they've had a good enough season that a bad stretch down of the year, I don't think is like the end all be all. I think they'll still be A-okay throughout the playoffs. Everyone, now, do you think they should be gunning for the record, for the NHL record? That's the real question.
I mean, it's cool. The problem is, like, it's a nice little, it's a great feather in the cap. Like, having the all-time record for wins is a sizable achievement. And if this team doesn't end up winning a cup, you can be like, is this the best team ever assembled? Like, when you look at just how much talent there is and, you know, the records that prove it.
Wasn't it the 2016 Warriors that were like the best regular season team ever? And they were the, that was the year they lost to the Cavs
the LeBron
in the final, right?
Game seven, yeah. And again, like that's half the war. You are part of the narrative, but it's because you another team toppled you, right? Like it's not exactly what you want to be remembered for. And again, it goes back to, I think, this obvious point. Like it's something that always cracks me up when you look at like early on in the season when this team was stacking up wins and people were like, well, it's not going to matter if they don't win the cup. It's like, yeah, no shit. Yeah, no shit, pal. Like, yeah, I think we're all very cognizant. I think we're all very cognizant of something like that. So you're not really breaking new ground with that. Again, it would be really nice, but I don't think it's necessary or it's worth the risk of, like, in order to secure it, they have to win their final two or three games. And it means that Montgomery has to roll out a full squad against, you know, a team. I don't want the Bruins to be going into Montreal against a team with Rem Pitlick and Michael Pizzotta and these like goons and having to roll out a full squad. Like it should not come to that. And if it does, you know, lie on that one game. And again, Bruins should beat Montreal, like in terms of just the matchups, not at the risk of rolling out guys and having someone dinged up for the playoffs. So that'll be something I think worth watching. So would be cool. Again, I think you probably ask the players. I'm sure they'd like to have it. Listen, it is a great accomplishment, but if they don't get it, they'll say post game, it didn't really matter. And if they do win it, they'll be like, yo, focus on the playoffs. Like there's more important things at stake here. So, would be nice, but you shouldn't devote, you know, a lot of resources, a lot of time and effort towards hitting a regular season record when there's a whole lot more to play for in the next couple of months.
It'd be very concerning if you saw them win it and then like champagne's popping in the dressing room. You're like, all right,
yeah,
this
that's
team,
not great.
They're out in the second round. Like, isn't the MLB, they teams celebrate winning like divisions, right? Like, if memory serves, like if you win the AL East, like they're popping bottles, you get like t-shirts from it. So,
yes.
Fortunately, we've not seen the Bruins do any of that. Yeah, fortunately, they have not gotten into that. Connor, over this last stretch of the regular season and into the playoffs, what can the people look forward to from you over at Boston.com?
Yeah, we're going to have you covered every step of the way with game recaps, columns, features, breakdowns, all that good stuff over at Boston.com. So please read all of our stuff over there. Of course, we have you covered on everything related to Boston sports, whether it's Patriots offseason, Red Sox, their season starting. Hopefully they can throw strikes. That would be helpful.
That'd be cool. Celtics, that'd be nice.
Celtics smoking the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, and they're getting ready for their playoff run. So we'll have you covered every step of the way with everything going on at Boston sports. So please read over there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at @ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. And remember to subscribe to New England Hockey Journal. That is Connor Ryan. I am Evan Marinofsky. Poke the Bear listeners. Have a great rest of your week.